Well, let's open our hearts to the word this morning. Let's do that in prayer right now. Father, we just humble ourselves before you. We present ourselves, Lord, as meek and teachable before you, that the Holy Spirit, our teacher and guide, might speak to our hearts today. I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes to behold, to see spiritual truths that the carnal mind just cannot get. Father, may we hear with the heart this morning, that we might grow in our faith, Lord, in our knowledge and understanding of you, that we might live in all that you have for us, and that we might glorify you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are living in a time in our world when there are fears and trouble and tragedy and disease all around, all kinds of things. And you know, the time that we live in, we hear about it from all around the world, every terrible thing that's happening. And it just seems like there's more and more and more all the time. There's always another shooting or some catastrophic event, an earthquake, a typhoon, something, a tsunami. I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't never even heard of a tsunami. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's always something and some kind of terrible disease, all this different new stuff, you know, N1, N2, human stuff. And then you got the swine flu and the bird flu. And, you know, read this week about a terrible thing that happened to another teenager swimming in a lake, and they got that brain-eating amoeba. And it's just all around us all the time. All kinds of disasters and fears of all kinds. And does God see? Does God care? And some say, well, why doesn't God do anything about it? But I want to tell you that God has made provision for us in His Word, that He has made a way that we can be protected, that there is a covering that is available to us to keep us through all of the storms of life and all of the difficulties, all of the heartache. I'm just telling you, there is a way. John Hopkins University, about 35 or so, 40 years ago, did a study of grade school age children to see what their greatest fears were. And their top five fears were animals, being in a dark room, high places, strangers, loud noises. Those were the days, huh? They repeated the study a few years back, and the top five were terrorism. I think these may be the top five for children, but they're probably some of the top fears for adults, too. And now, here in our own country, you know, there's terrorism that happens. Bombs exploded, people with guns, there's stuff happening almost every week, it seems like. The second fear was war. Third is disease. As I said, we hear about some new disease or how bad it is all the time. Fourth is divorce. And fifth is death itself. All kinds of fears. All kinds of economic fears and what's going to happen. I'm just telling you, we live in this fearful society, but the Word of God has an answer. Today, we're going to begin a new series that I call The Believer's Insurance Policy. It is from Psalms 91. We're going to be studying Psalms 91. It is a believer's insurance policy. It is available to us that there are many, many fantastic promises found here in Psalms 91 that provide the Lord's protection for us. Now, when I say that it is an insurance policy, it's different from the world's insurance policy. You know, the world will say, now, you need protection. You need this insurance policy so that you are protected. Well, the truth is, it doesn't protect you at all. All it means is that if some tragedy happens to you, They may or may not give you some money, but they're not going to protect you from disease. They're not going to protect you from some tragedy happening. They're not going to protect you from harm or from terrorism. I noticed on our church policy, they got a new addendum that's added on there for terrorism. But they're not going to protect you from it. They're just going to maybe give you some money. If they can't get out of it, they'll give you some money. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, if there's a loophole, if there's a way around it, isn't it amazing how often, even though you've got the policy, you've got the protection. Now, if you're an insurance salesman, don't be hating on me, all right? I'm just saying. It sure seems that way, doesn't it? So when I call it an insurance policy, I'm not talking about an insurance policy that's for after the fact. I'm talking about a protection policy. I'm talking about something that actually brings real protection in your life. And I'm telling you, we find it in the promises of God's word in Psalm 91. Now, I want to begin this morning just by reading all the way through the psalm. It's so powerful, so amazing. He says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Wow. What amazing promises from the Word of God. This is one of those psalms, like the 23rd Psalm, that we love to quote. We love to mention these promises when we're going through a difficult time, or maybe we're facing a tragedy. But what happens so often is somehow or another they get relegated to just being some pretty comforting words, that we say these things. We remember the promise. We know what it says, but we don't really believe that it's for us, that it's real, that we can have these promises in our life. I want you to know that this is God's protection plan for you, that He wants to cover you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to keep you from harm. Some would say, well, it's just words. And some would say, well, it's figurative. You know, it's not really promising us anything. It's just kind of figuratively speaking somehow that God will protect you or take care of you. But I believe it is the Word of God to us. Such exceeding great and precious promises. Verse 3, He promises us deliverance from tragedy and disease. Verse 4, He promises to be our refuge and to protect us. 5 and 6, He promises us we don't have to be afraid, that we don't have to fear. 7 and 8, He promises us that we will see judgment come on the wicked, but it will not come near us. Verse 10, He says that calamity will will not befall us, that no deadly disease will come to our dwelling. 11 and 12, he promises us the protection of angels. Verse 13, he promises us victory over our enemies. 15, he promises to answer our prayers, to be with us in trouble. 16, he promises us long life. Wow. And you know that the devil knows these verses better than most Christians. In fact, he quoted from these verses when he tempted Jesus. He took Jesus up to a high place, the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, because it is written, his angels shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And here's a very important principle of interpretation that you need to know about the Scripture, that all Scripture has to be understood. It has to be interpreted in the light of the rest of Scripture. And so often Satan comes to deceive people, even using the Word of God. You need to know what the Bible says. Enough of this lazy Christianity. It's almost like people want to go back to the day where the preacher has to tell you what the Bible says. We need to know what the Bible says. How wonderful it is that we all have a Bible in this country. I mean, anybody can have a Bible, or 5 or 10 of them, right? I mean, if you don't have one, you let me know. I'll help you get one. But it doesn't do you any good if you don't read it and you don't study it. We need to know what it says. But Jesus said something that's very important about this passage of Scripture. He said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And I want you to understand that because we have these great promises, it doesn't mean that we can just throw caution to the wind and live reckless lives and do foolish things, you know, driving down the road while you're texting, swerving all over the road, but, well, praise the Lord, his angels are watching over me. You're tempting the Lord. You're just being foolish. It doesn't mean that you can eat whatever you want and do whatever you want to your body and just say, well, no pestilence will come nigh my dwelling. That's tempting the Lord. No, we do need to be wise. We do need to be reasonable and keep ourselves from harm. But listen, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you can't ever be perfect. And I want you to understand that just because you made a mistake or you might have done something you shouldn't have done, that doesn't mean that God's not protecting you. You just don't test the Lord. You just don't be foolish and tempt the Lord. Now, church, these verses are for us. These promises are for us. And we need to get a hold of these promises. Realize, I'm telling you, so much is here that's just being wasted because we're not really applying it in our lives and living by it. I want you to know the promises of God are for you. People are forever trying to negate, trying to do away with the promises. I'm talking about religious people. I'm talking about those who name the name of Christ. There are whole denominations who want to do away with all of the promises of God except for salvation. And everything else, they say, well, that was just for back then, for certain people. Again, you got to interpret the Bible in the light of the rest of Scripture. Did you know there's no verse in the Bible that says those promises were only for back then? That's just the reasoning of man. It's easy not to believe anything. But this is what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 1:20, all of the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. We just say amen. We just got to get in agreement with the promises of God. What promises? All the promises of God. In him, the answer is yes. We don't have a lesser covenant. We have a better covenant. And the book of Galatians tells us that as the children of faith, that we have the same blessings that were on Abraham are on us. I'm just telling you, these promises are for us.
You need to get a hold of that and realize that, listen, that old religious talk will keep you from being able to live in the blessings and the promises that God has for you. See, it's just easier to decide that they're not for us. Just to shirk all responsibility. In other words, it's not on us to believe. They're just not for us. We just put them aside and say, well, it's just not for us. But the truth is that when we do that, we miss out on so much that God has for us. And church, if we'll just believe the promises of the Word of God and appropriate the promises in our life, oh, what victory we can have, what blessings we can have. Did you realize that almost all of the promises of God have a condition? And you know, that's where part of the problem is that a lot of the time people just say, well, it must not be for today because they don't fulfill the condition of the promise. But almost all of the promises of God have a condition. Now, there are some, the only condition is that you believe, just like salvation. It's by grace we are saved through faith. We don't do anything to earn our salvation, but we just believe God. It's for those who believe. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We just receive the promise by faith. That's the only condition. There are many other promises that not only have to be believed, but there's some action that you have to take. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And by the way, this is a great example of a promise of the Old Testament that then is repeated in the New Testament. It's still valid. Still valid. And I just want to, see, I think it's real important as we start this series that you understand that there are conditions many times on the promises of God. But if we're gonna receive the blessings of those promises, we have to appropriate the promise by meeting the conditions of that promise. And so here we have the first commandment with a promise that if young people will honor their father and mother, and here it is, what an outlandish promise. It will go well with them and they'll live long on the earth. Anybody believe that? I believe that. It is the Bible. It's the Word of God. And if God says it, I believe it. Now, what we got in our country today is we got a lot of cool parents. They want their kids to think they're cool. I'm going to tell you the truth. It may be the cool thing in our culture to be all buddy-buddy with your teenager and you want to be their best friend, and I get all that. You should have a good relationship with them, but I want you to understand, they don't need you to be cool. They don't need to think you're cool. They need to respect you. They need to honor you. Here's one of the greatest things you could ever do for your children. Teach them to honor you. Oh, you know, preacher, that's so hard, the culture we live in, because, you know, they see all this stuff on TV, disrespecting parents. Then turn the TV off. You don't have to let your kids watch 4 hours of sitcoms every day. Turn that garbage off. But teach your children to respect you and honor you. And I want to tell you, it's pretty nice when they do, right? Anybody want to say amen? Come on, mom and dads, I think y'all be on board with me right now. Come on, help a poor preacher out. Yeah, it's nice when your kids honor you and respect you. But don't do it for yourself, do it for them. Because here's the promise. If your kids will honor you, it will go well for them. That's what every parent wants. They want things to go well for their kids. How do you get that? When they honor you, then it will go well for them and they'll live long on the earth. Wow. Let me just give you one more example of a promise with a condition. There's a lot of talk today about giving and about prosperity. Well, I just want you to know that not only is it in the Old Testament, Jesus himself in Luke 6:38 He says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Listen, Jesus says very plainly that when you give, that God then will bless you back. There's a condition to the blessing of God, to that divine provision in your life. Some people then will go so far as to saying, well, you know, if it was before the cross, even the teachings of Jesus. This is how crazy the religious world gets, trying to undermine faith and keep you from believing anything. That, well, if it was before the cross. Now, they really only do it when it disagrees with their doctrine. But they'll say, well, if it was before the cross, it doesn't apply to us. Well, I'm glad the Apostle Paul taught the same thing when he said, he that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Here's the point. There is a condition for the promise. You want to reap bountifully? You want the blessing of God on your finances? Then you got to meet the condition. Back to our verses. Psalms 91. We're just going to focus on the first two verses this morning. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Notice in the first verse he says that he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is a place of divine protection. Under the shadow. Listen, when God is covering you, you are protected. Nothing can get to you when the Almighty, the one who spoke it all into existence, I'm telling you, when He is over you, when you're under His shadow, you're protected. A few verses later, He talks about His feathers, His wings covering us. The picture is of an eagle who covers her young to protect them from the storm or to protect them from a predator. I'm just telling you, God's covering over us provides absolute protection. Now, I realize that this sounds pretty crazy this morning when you're talking about all of this protection from sickness, protection from tragedy, protection from enemies. How could that possibly be? Church, it's written right here in the Word of God. It's available to us. And it's real. Don't allow the enemy to steal away your faith. Don't allow him to keep you from believing the promises of God. But these promises, here's the condition. He says, this is for the one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The one who literally is sitting in the secret place. That word dwells, it's actually the Hebrew word for sitting. The one who is resting in the secret place. See, there's a place in God where you don't have to struggle. You're not having to fight. You're just resting. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's a place of rest where we are trusting in Him and we know that He is the one who's going to take care of us. Sitting in the secret place. It's a place of divine protection where He covers us. That secret place. Now, some translations, the modern translations now, many of them call it a shelter. And you know, that translates the meaning pretty well because it is talking about a place where you're protected from the storm, where nothing can get to you. But the secret place is more of a literal translation. The word actually means a covert place, a hidden place, a place where the enemy can't get to you. He can't find you because you're covered. God has protected you. That's the secret place. And I'm telling you, there is a place like that in the Lord. Now, this psalm was probably written by David. And you know, there were many times that David had to hide from King Saul and his army or from others. Many times his life was threatened and in danger. And I'm sure that David had some special hiding places, some secret places. But when it was all said and done, David knew that it was not the strength of man. It was not some special cave that he had that kept him safe. He knew that it was the Lord. It was God's protection. It was his covering over him that kept him safe. I realize that the time we live in is a perilous time, that there's all kinds of dangers, all kinds of things to be worried about and to be fearful about, but not any more so than David's day. David had whole armies that were pursuing after him to try to kill him. Many times it was those that were close to David who betrayed him. And I'm just telling you that David believed these promises that somehow God would protect him. And I got a testimony for you. David lived to be an old man. They couldn't kill him. They tried again and again and again. He killed the giant. The Bible says they sang songs that David has killed his tens of thousands. Mighty man of war. But you know, it just took one spear, one sword, one chariot running over him, and he would have been dead. But they couldn't kill him. David knew what he was talking about when he spoke these things. You look at David's life, you look at the life of the patriarchs of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and on and on and on, and you see these men who lived old lives. Listen, they weren't perfect, but they had the protection of Almighty God over their life. God blessed them. They didn't have a whole bunch of vaccines and antibiotics. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not criticizing modern medicine. I'm just testifying to you that these men of old, they didn't have all of the modern medicine that we have today. They didn't have all this other stuff. And yet somehow God kept them. It is absolutely amazing when you consider the miracles that God did. That God is still alive. That God is still available. That God still has a secret place where we can go and be covered under the shadow of the Almighty. It is a personal, secret place where we abide and we commune with God. Last Sunday we talked about guilt and how that it is the blood of Jesus that has washed away our guilt, and he has created a new and living way for us. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 23 tells us that he has made a new and living way where we can draw near to God in full assurance of faith, where the Old Testament high priest went once a year into the Holy of Holies. Now we, by the blood of Jesus, can come into that Holy of Holies, to an intimate place, a place of closeness with God, just as Moses spoke with the Lord face to face as a man with his friend. Abraham was the friend of God. Enoch walked with God. That we also can have that kind of closeness with God in the secret place. You see, that secret place is not a physical location, but it is a spiritual location where you get alone with God. And you have that intimate fellowship with him and commune with him. And I'm telling you, the scripture says that nothing can touch you there. That you are covered. That you are protected. Jesus himself would go out and find a private place to pray. Just to be alone with his Father. In that secret place. How much we need to do that.
Years ago, I used to say, well, I'm not a morning person. I'm an evening person. Now I'm neither. I just kind of do the best I can in between, but I'm going to tell you this, that you need to start your day with the Lord, that you need to get alone in that secret place with God and spend some time just enjoying the Lord. And sometimes you bring your request and your worries, your concerns to Him, and sometimes you listen for His voice, and sometimes you just sit in His presence in the secret place, that covert place where nothing can get to you. But when you get up from that place, you don't leave the Lord there. No, I'm telling you, the protection of God wouldn't do us much good if it was only while we were in the prayer closet. No, He goes with us. You got to have those times alone with God, but He says, I'm with you always. And we need to realize that He's with us throughout our day, that we still commune with Him. He walks with me and He talks with me. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, He says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. Amen. He's walking with us. We get in the car, we're driving down the road. He's right there with us. He's still covering us. He's still protecting us, taking care of us. Church, we got to know this, that there's a place in God where we can just rest and relax because, listen, all this fear and anxiety, all this stuff going on in our world, it's not too big for God. You need to take a breath. Let go, my soul, and trust in Him. You need to realize He still commands the wind and the waves. Demons still tremble at His name. You don't have to be afraid. You need to learn that you're covering. He's protecting you. Oh, it's real. It's for us. Don't say, oh, well, that doesn't work today. Listen, I want to tell you, that old religious attitude, there are people in our world today, they will say, you call yourself blessed. You think you're better than everybody. Well, tragedies and sickness, it just comes, and you think you're better than anybody. Listen, it's not because I think I'm better than anybody. It's not because I'm looking down on anybody. I'm just looking at God's word. I'm not judging anybody else. But whether people judge me or not, I'm going to believe the promises of God are for me. I'm going to say yes and amen. And as long as you base your faith on experience, by what you see, you will never believe for anything. Because you will always see, with the natural eye, you will always see something different than what the Word says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you can always find somebody who got sick, and somebody who died, and somebody that suffered a tragedy. We've all had that. We've all experienced that even in our own family. But I want you to understand that you've got to stand on the promises of God's word and believe the promises of God's word. Even in this very passage, He says, 1,000 may fall at your side. It's not arrogance. It's just trusting God. Make up your mind that you believe the promises of God. I want you to understand the first condition we see to this passage of Scripture is that we have to abide in the secret place. In John chapter 15, Jesus tells us to abide in the vine, to abide in Him. He says, if we don't abide in Him, we're cast forth as branches and withered. Listen. But then He goes on and He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you will, ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Another one of those crazy, outlandish promises. Could that possibly be true? It absolutely is if you meet the condition. The condition is that Jesus' word abides in you and you abide in Him. You got to abide in Him. And I want you to understand that He says, if you abide in Me. You see, there's a condition. There's a choice to make. You got to choose to abide in Him.
And with this passage of Scripture, I'm telling you, he says it is the one who dwells in the secret place. You got to make that choice that you're going to have that intimate relationship with God and walk with him every day. Now, just quickly, two more things I want to talk to you about this morning. The second verse, he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Listen, he says, I will say. I cannot tell you how often I hear people say, well, I'm praying this. And then they'll turn right around and say something exact opposite from what they're praying. They know the promises, and yet they constantly speak contrary to the word of God. The psalmist said, I will say, he's my refuge and my fortress. I read a story about some soldiers who were trapped on a beach during World War II. And a beach, they were just in wide open area with no cover. And German planes were flying over them, dropping bombs, shooting machine guns at them. And these soldiers began to say at the top of their lungs, they began not just to say it, but to shout it, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. And they just kept saying it over and over and over. And somehow, miraculously, when it was over, not one of them had been shot. Not one of them had been wounded. How could that be? Listen, I'm just telling you that God is real and he has the power to protect. In fact, it's not an isolated incident. There are many, many, many soldiers who have been protected because of God's divine protection. In this room right here, how many of you have ever experienced divine protection where you knew God just took care of you? Now, if you can't raise your hand, just look around a little bit because there's some hands that are up. I'm just telling you, it is available to you. But you need to get your talk lined up with the word of God. I will say, you got to say it out of your mouth, and it may offend some people. There are always going to be people that don't like it when you start talking faith. They're going to call you a nut, or they're going to say that you're arrogant. You think you're better than other people, but you got to make up your mind. You're going to believe the word of God, and you're going to say what it says. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And see, so often, what's coming out of our mouth is telling on us whether or not we really believe God's word. You got to abide in the secret place. You got to say with your mouth, I will say, he is my refuge and my fortress. People put their trust in all kinds of things. How much better to trust in the Lord? And that's the third thing, is that we trust him. I will trust him. There's a place where you can rest in God and know that he's going to take care of it. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Oh, you got to get to the place where you just turn all that fear and anxiety over to the Lord and you just trust him. You just rest in him. You just know that God is going to take care of it. He's trustworthy. I want you to know this morning, I told you earlier in the message that you always interpret Scripture in the light of other Scripture. There are literally hundreds of verses of Scripture I could share with you this morning about God's protection. And these same principles are repeated over and over and over. Over and over and over. There are so many that were delivered, so many that God just brought through the fire, the river could. Listen, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, God can fulfill his word for you. I just want to give you three last verses of Scripture just
just to support these same principles. In fact, these are such similar verses. Psalm 32 and 7 says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Psalms 31, 20. "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Psalm 27, 5, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Talking about that secret place, a place of protection, a refuge where God takes care of you. We all who have had children know what it's like to want to protect your children, to take care of them. We don't want them to have to be afraid. We want them to know that they're safe. And I'm telling you that you have a Heavenly Father who wants to protect you, who wants to take care of you. Abide in that secret place. Give him all those worries and fears. Turn it over to him. Start saying it out of your mouth that the Lord protects you, that the Lord watches over you. Too often when God takes care of us, we fail to give him the glory. We fail to acknowledge that it was God. I just want to go on record as saying, I thank the Lord for his divine protection over our bus and our vans as our young people and our children travel to and from camp. It is not just because of our perseverance. It is not just because we're lucky. It is because our God is watching over to keep us safe, and we do not take it for granted. We acknowledge it, and we thank the Lord. We praise him for it. And I'm telling you, church, we need to apply that same principle in our life daily, that we're believing God, we're expecting God. Yes, we're going to be diligent and do what we're supposed to do, but I'm telling you, there's no terrorism coming nigh this dwelling in the name of Jesus. I believe God is going to take care of us, church. Get in that secret place with the Lord every day. Make up your mind to get your talk lined up with the Word of God and trust him. Trust him. I want you to stand with me, and as we prepare to pray here at the end of the service, I just want to share one last thing with you just to bring this home. I think the enemy of our soul knows how dangerous this is, and he knows that, well, the one thing he never wants any of us to do is to spend time with God. See, that's what Jesus died on the cross for, is so that you could be reconciled to God. He didn't die on the cross just so you could go to heaven instead of hell. That's just the benefit, the side benefit. I'm telling you, he died on the cross so that we could be reconciled to God, so we could have a relationship with God. And that means that we're going to spend eternity with him. But I'm telling you, it's more than just making heaven. He said, this is eternal life, that you might know the one true God in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's eternal life. And that starts right now, having a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with him. But so many believers somehow allow the enemy to get them so busy. They're watching the news, they're reading on the internet, and get all concerned about this. And all, listen, turn all that off. Put your cell phone aside and get alone with God. Get in that secret place. I'm telling you, Jesus is inviting you to come. He says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, there's a rest that so many believers are not experiencing in their life. They're living with fear and anxiety, worry constantly. That's not what your Father has for you. No, he wants you to trust him, to rest in him. And Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him. He'll come in and fellowship, commune with you. Some of you this morning, you need to open that door. Let Jesus come in. Some of you need to renew your commitment to God and your relationship with him. I want our prayer partners to go ahead and come as we pray. Father, I just thank you for these exceeding great and precious promises from your word. I thank you, Father, that you love us so much, that you care, that you've made provision. Father, forgive us for times when we have not believed your word. Help us, Father, to rise up in faith and to stand on the promises of God, to live the life that you've called us to. Father, I pray this morning for those that are struggling to believe, struggling, Lord, with adversity and circumstances of life that seem to be too much. Oh, Father, I pray for them this morning. They be strengthened in the inner man and that faith will rise in their heart. Lord, just to trust you, just to turn it over to you. Father, I pray for that one that's been drifting away. By your grace, Father, that you draw them back. Oh, Father, do a work in us this morning. In Jesus' name. As we dismiss this morning, I want to invite you to come for prayer. Listen, if God's dealing with you, if there's a need in your life, if you need to renew your relationship with God, whatever it might be, don't leave out of this building the same as you came. In fact, if you can't walk out those doors knowing that you're covered, knowing that God's protection is over you, oh, I invite you to come for prayer this morning because it's available to you. He loves you that much. He cares for you that much. Amen, amen. If you need prayer, you come. Lord bless you. You're dismissed. Go under his covering.